lesson I had planned for tonight. Admittedly, this is not exactly what we had planned for tonight. But since we're here, I want to define and talk about hope. I don't know, last week we had a question on it. I think it helped me, and I was hoping more people would be hearing what we're saying about faith and hope. That faith is the substance. In other words, that's the structure that hope and love stands upon. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we couldn't have the hope that we're talking about, because this hope is Christ Jesus. We're talking about the God of hope. So if you don't believe in the resurrection, if you don't believe that that's the centrality of the doctrine, if Jesus be not risen, if there is no resurrection, then our hope is in vain, because we would be hoping for temporal things in this life, and we of all people are most miserable. You can't put hope in the things of this life or what you achieve. You can't put hope in people. That's a different hope. That's a hope of this world. It's a wish. There's an end to those things in the world that we hope for, because it's a physical hope. We have to define hope in the biblical way. What is true hope? Because if we just have the hope of this world, we're most miserable than all men, and we, like the rest of them, are hopeless. The Gentiles are hopeless. If you're not in Christ, and see, the Gentiles was at one time hopeless and without God in this world, and I'm going to go over that next week. I won't take away from that teaching, explaining it here in this context. But I want you to look. It says, faith and hope are defined in the dictionary as follows. Faith is confidence or trust in a person, a thing, a belief, not based upon proof. So those that didn't see Christ rise, as Doubting Thomas, he said, blessed are you that Doubting Thomas said he wasn't going to believe lest he see. And after he saw the nails, the wounds, after he put his hands in the holes, that's when he believed. But Jesus says, better is those of more blessed are those who hadn't seen who believe. See, faith is believing in the substance. In other words, this is the substance in which faith is comprised of, and that's why Jesus Christ came, because he confirmed the word of God. That's why all the specific signs and wonders and miracles he did was confirming what was written in the word of God, that we would believe on the word. We would believe upon God, because God is the God of hope. Any other hope is hope created by the world and the things of this world. If you hoping to get a car, if you hoping to get a home, if you hoping for better health, and don't achieve those things, you're disappointed and you feel bad if you don't reach that. If you're laboring to become a doctor, if you're laboring to achieve a certain goal by the age of 45 or 50, and that goal is not achieved, you give up hope on that. You give up trying for that, because that's a worldly thing that's based upon luck. It's based upon wish. It's based upon happenstance. It's based on the circumstances of this world. You can't have faith in that. You can't have faith and say, well, I hope I win the lottery. That's wishful thinking. After tonight, or Wednesday or Saturday, whenever they have the lottery or the Powerball, you could have bought a lottery ticket in hopes that you would win it. But after that Saturday or that Wednesday and the lottery is over with, your hope is gone because it didn't happen. You understand me? Because you were only wishing. It didn't have any substance to that. It was just an idea or imagination in your mind. If you was hoping to marry this woman or hoping to do something, it was based on an idea or desire, and it says this is what hope is. Hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based upon expectation or desire. It's based on what you expect to have or what desire or something you want. All that's physical. That's not spiritual. God asked me today. He was taking me. I had to get my brakes fixed on my truck, and the guy had it apart, so I couldn't go get him, so I had somebody else to take me to go get the brakes. He said, "What you think about them saints?" And I'm saying, "Well, the guy was nice enough to take me to go get my brakes or something. I don't want to hurt his feelings." He said he had taken a picture. He has a picture with Brooks or whatever. I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm really not a Saint fan. I hate the Saints. I used to be a Cowboy fan. I hate the Cowboys. I don't watch that much football." I say, "I used to watch the Saints, but, you know, since Bobby Hebert wasn't with him anymore or whatever, the Saints used to be a ball control offense. If you watch the Saints in the 49ers play, it would be a good game. It, you know, it would be a low-scoring game. 12, 15 points or 20 points was the most points they would score. I mean, they would have the ball a whole quarter just about. 49ers, it would be a good game. But the game of the times has changed, and my hope and expectancy has changed because all that's on dreams and wishes and things." And I say, "Well, they trade their players too much or whatever." I said, "That's been the Saints' history. They get somebody that had Kilmer, Jurgensen, and all these other people." I say, "Atkinson," and he was talking about some of the other people. I see. "So your hope is from season to season in the Saints." And, you know, he said he went back as far as I was talking about back with the Saints. He'd been a loyal Saints fan, but it's a lot of people that wasn't Saints fans all of their lives when they were the Aints and had the paper bags and everything, but they got on the team when they had high hopes of winning. But after they won the Super Bowl, the Saints went right back to doing what the Saints do, trade the players for money and back where he was. But that's a hope in something that may not materialize. They may not go back to the Super Bowl this year. They might not do anything. So I say, I don't waste my time in dealing in things hoping for something that may or may not have. I can't have faith in that. But see, you have to have faith. And I told you, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, I have faith that there was a man named Jesus that came, lived, and died, lived according to this word, that died for my sins, and that God had place my sins upon him, in that when he died, when he was crucified, he was resurrected and brought to life so that I can live. So he became my hope. Nothing else or nothing less. That's the God of hope. If he didn't rise, if he's not all he say is, if this is not his word, if the things he said we would do, the life we would have later, an eternal life, I'm hopeless. I don't have a hope. If there's no resurrection, I'm hopeless, because that's all my hope is in. All the other things are things that are added along the way, because he tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you." So, coming into this week or whatever, oh man, things start happening going on. But see, if you have hope in goals and material things in this world, and things do happen, all kinds of things happen, complexities and things, and that's why I was telling about having a house, having a car, having a spouse, or having children, or having anything. What all can go wrong will go wrong. Your expectations, even having children, they might not turn out the way you want them to turn out. They might not be the doctors and lawyers that you hope for. There might be other plans in the horizon for them or what they wanted to do or whatever. In the old days, people used to hope and have children or whatever because the children would be their source in the latter years to help take care of them in the raise and grow farms and grow different things. But see, that's hoping or depending upon people. That's putting hope in a man, a hope in a person or something. People went, they go and vote for a politician, and they go do different things, hoping this would work. You go to the doctor, "I hope this surgery works." you hope in medication, you hope, but it's nothing. What I'm saying is, those things are physical hope, but we're hoping in Jesus Christ, and that's a living hope. That hope motivates you to perfection. That hope, hoping in Jesus Christ, motivates you. That's part of the elements of motivation, that if you live a certain way, there's a certain reward at the end of the goal for you. That's why your hope has to be in Him, in what He has said and done. That's having faith in Him, in His Word, that He's a guarantor of His Word, that He can walk and do His Word. He could accomplish the things He said He could do. Listen at this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. In other words, all men, grace is common to all. It rains on the just and the unjust. All men have had a chance to know of God, have had a chance in this. And they read John 3:16, and that's where the people that are talking about being born again and Jesus died for the world's sins, a lot of people hear that teaching and thinking Jesus died for their sins, and it may not be so. Because if Jesus died for your sin, that means you have to comply with all the conditions of what He said in His Word. That's a conditional promise. Because if some people, He didn't die for their sins. And just knowing of Christ doesn't mean He died for your sin. And a lot of people in the church and they play, oh, Jesus died for our sins and all that. Okay, if you saying that and you hoping in that, if you have that hope, it changes your life. That's a living hope. That's what preachers are not telling you. If that's your hope, you should be doing something. There's a work that coming in. There's something to motivate you to make you live for that actual tangible hope, because that is something real, that if you're going to have streets of gold, in other words, you will live eternal life and you will have no more pain, no more sorrow, and accomplish all this. But you can't live like the devil down here and get those. He tells you, if you still lying, you're not a child of His. If you still working in the flesh, you're not none of His. You can't inherit the kingdom of God because of the works of the flesh. 1 John 3:1-3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us. Now, He's not talking about all of us. He says He had bestowed it upon us, those that hear His Word and act upon His Word. The grace of God had appeared to all men, but everybody hadn't accepted that grace. Everybody doesn't walk in that grace. The grace of God has become vanity for them because they're not accepting a living hope. Listen at this. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. In other words, the other people. It may be our brothers and sisters. It may be our parents. It may be the people on the job. They don't know us because they don't know God. They don't know of this living hope because their hope is in that paycheck. Their hope is in television. Their hope is in winning this big pot of gold, if in money. They're hoping in things. They're hoping in a family. They're hoping in this. That's not anything to hope in. That's not a living hope. That can happen and it may happen. It happens to the just and the unjust. But not eternal life doesn't. That's why I say He didn't die for us all. If He had died for us all, wouldn't any go to hell? He only died for those of us who have this hope, because that hope is not a wishing. That hope is something tangible. It's a promise. It is Christ Jesus. You have to have Christ Jesus. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, do you feel like the sons of God? We were talking about that. Does in the church, and that's why I say, sometimes you can't be a super saint. Sometimes you have to learn to be content as what such that you have, because sometimes Satan will use over-motivation for you, over-zeal. When you start to trying to accomplish too much, when you start to reach out, grasping the things of the world, thinking godliness is gain. And that's why, you know, I was talking to my daughter the other night, and I talked to different people. Well, some of the religions and the purpose-driven lives and all these things and the prosperity gospel and everything think that you're supposed to, the desires of your heart, anything, if you think you should have a Cadillac, you think you should have money, you should think you should have any of these things, you could have it. You name your creation, or you name that, you speak that in existence. God's word doesn't teach that. God's word doesn't teach that. That's a different gospel. He says, now we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. Did Jesus have a house? Didn't he ride on a borrowed donkey? He says, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have no way to where to lay his head. So if he lived as an itinerant preacher, just going around different places preaching, nowhere in the Bible he promised you a roof over your head, do he? I don't see he promising a roof over your head. But he says, be not anxious. In other words, don't really worry about these things. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. See, sometimes we have to be content with what God's giving us and stop reaching out for something he hadn't given us. That's what causes anxieties and pressures. And that's what I told you. I was under a lot of pressure. I had an old Coupe de Ville Cadillac when I was staying out there in Mayfair. 5-bedroom house. But you know, I had to get up every morning and go to work. Do you know I had to work on weekends and things? I had a house, but not a home. After a while, my wife started working. You know, we've changed as a nation. Instead of being able to enjoy our homes and things, we're consistently hoping and being disappointed because things aren't turning out the way we are. And so in this life, a lot of us keep striving for things that we never achieve. And we almost become hopeless because we're always reaching for something that's not attainable. But if we were to be content with what we have and our hope was in God, we would labor for the kingdom of God and seek the things of God, and we would be content as such that we have. And if we're really fully seeking the kingdom and fully committed to God with all of our heart, he would add such things as you really need. Those things that you really need, he would give them to you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, because he wants you fully committed to him. But you can't be fully committed to him if your hope is in things in this world. If you work in two jobs and not able to come to church, not able to pay your tithes because and your offerings because you're too tied up with bills. Well, bills will be here when you're gone. You came here and made those bills. But people that are in the church and that are really following God doesn't necessarily make those bills. You're not tied to money. Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. So without money, he still would serve God. You don't need money to serve God. He says, come and buy that without money. So he'll give you a peace and joy and happiness. You don't need money for that. Money is a creation of man. Because back in the old days, they used a barter system. You would give me some corn or some peas or something, and I would give you some meat or some produce, something I was doing, an exchange system. But now we're working, and that's why I say I told a guy I didn't follow sports because I watch better football games in the 70s and 80s. And players weren't making millions of dollars and the coaches millions of dollars. That's how they define players now, about how much they're making. Not about their loyalty to the team or whether nobody's faithful to the game. So God says we don't know what he looks like, but if we're looking like Jesus, if we're working toward Jesus, It's our conduct and our attitude that we're trying to be like him, because that's why our hope is in him. And we're being shaped and formed in his image and in his likeness. Paul was a tent maker. Paul didn't work in what he was trained. I told y'all about Paul last week. He called it all loss, the things in this world, to gain Christ, to know Christ, and to know him more better than his suffering. So Paul sometimes had to go hungry. Paul sometimes had to work different ways, but nobody achieved more, did more for Christ than we read of the Apostle Paul. So we see that the elements of motivation, what makes you a living hope in everything, that you have your focus and your hope is in Christ and not the things of the world. You get tired of this world, you're going to lose focus on Christ. It says, here's the point I'm trying to get at, verse 3. And every man that had this hope, have what hope? We have the hope or the expectation of gaining Christ, of gaining heaven. It says, purified himself as Christ is pure. In other words, he sanctifies himself. He sets himself apart. He's grown in Christ Jesus. He pulls off this world and put on Christ. To put off this world, Paul didn't have home. Paul was beheaded for the name of Christ. He didn't have savings. He didn't have anything in this world. He didn't have a spouse, because he was continually gaining Christ. We must count the cost. So faith and hope is different. Faith says it is so now, and hope says in the future it could happen. That's Merriam-Webster's definition. But in Christ's, in Jesus Christ's vernacular, when the biblical, its hope is that this will happen. This is the only thing I'm counting on, is I'm gaining heaven. That one day I won't have this old body, I'll have a better body. That I'll have eternal life. That's my hope that I'm trying to catch on to Jesus Christ, that I won't have to worry about my knees or whatever, because he's going to give me a new body. And I won't be disappointed in that. If that don't happen, nothing will happen. We're going to bet the farm on that. That's what a Christian does. He bets the farm on what Jesus says going to happen, and I'll die trying to prove that. See, that's when you don't love your life unto death, that you give it all for Christ. Do you put it all into the church, say, if the church don't make it, I won't make it, because I'm a part of the church. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Because we had those in Amos and Joel, they said, well, look, let us get us some houses first. Let us get cars and things. Let us get stuff for ourselves, and then we'll do for God. God said, well, no, look, I tell you what, I'll cause you to have holes in your pocket. As you're trying for that, the washing machines go break. Rents will go up. All kinds of things go happen. You're going to be making money, but you're not going to see yourself prospering in it, because you didn't put God first. Your hope wasn't in him. Your hope was in the things in this world. So faith is believing in Jesus Christ, believing in all that he had accomplished. But faith is a virtue. In other words, faith is invisible. You can't see it. But I know what God's did in my past life. I've had a member tell me, say, well, look, based up on me seeing God working in my life, I know the rest of my life is going to be past and present. I have faith in Christ that this is, and that's what he had. But you don't have a physical hope in that. The hope is that this has to happen. You can't see it, because hope will keep on happening. Hope goes into the future. In other words, that's that motivation. Every day will be better and better throughout eternity. Because if you ever achieve what you hope for, why should you hope for anything else? So Christ, to gain Christ, it only gets better and better. There's no end in sight in Christ of our happiness and joy. That's why he said he gives you peace and joy everlasting. But sometime in this world, we could achieve what we hope for and still not be happy. You could get the girl of your dreams or the guy of your dreams and still not be happy. You can get the car you want or whatever, but 6 months later, a year later, it's just a car. Do you want another car? See, because things don't satisfy. God didn't make things to be able to satisfy. He had set eternity in man's heart. And what man wants is eternal life, and only God has that. People also ask, is faith and hope the same thing? Because they're reading the Bible and God hadn't opened up their understanding yet. They see the words, and I was listening to some preacher talking about different things, and God hadn't given them a mind to perceive or open up their understanding and explain certain things. It says, on these grounds, faith is a result of a current belief system as shaped by experience. So, the way in what we're teaching in the doctrine in here at this church has shaped in what y'all believe, if you actually believe something, to those that it had shaped that belief. Now, there are those in churches, and that's why I always tell you in Revelation, some people are in church, but their belief system is not being changed. See, that's one thing you have to do to be a disciple of Christ. You have to forget all that you've learned and learn of Christ. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He starts to get you to think a different way, because that's why he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That mind shows you that you can't accomplish anything, and by works, you'll work yourself to death trying to get somewhere and see that it was all for naught. Whereas somebody that's in Christ, Christ is doing the work and Christ is accomplishing these things and he's adding these things onto you, and you'll be able to do just like Job says, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. But there was a man that got things the easy way. I just didn't heard pieces and bits of it because I don't sit out and watch the news. But as they was talking about it, and we were talking about it while they was working on the car, this guy, he was getting things that he wanted in this life or whatever, but this woman decided to leave him or whatever. She had a home or whatever, and she didn't want him anymore. So all his dreams and his hopes was lost. Well, he was losing everything that he had hoped in, and so he pulled a gun and killed her and killed himself. See, because that's why with this political system, see, that's why I say a belief system and a political system, when it aligns itself, it could be anti-God, because there are people that would kill for the leader of this nation that's fighting. That's why the nation is divided, because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, because it was, my citizens would fight. Well, you can tell it's not of God because it's not worth fighting for. Nothing in this world is worth fighting for. That's why God says, do not kill. Wars are created by men because of their desires. That's why James says, you lust and desire. That's the war lies within your members. When people can't get what they're hoping or trying after, they end up killing for it. They end up stealing for it. They end up doing these things because God hadn't given these to them, and they're giving it to somebody else, and they feel they deserve these things or whatever. That's within you. That's the desires that are created within your members. That's where wars come from. It's the lust that resides in you. Your hope is not in Christ. Your hope is in self, in what you can achieve and what you can reach. See, so it's a belief system. And this nation has a bad belief system. And it's basing itself in religion, but it's a false religion. You got the real Jesus, and you got another Jesus being taught. Two Jesuses. Whereas hope is the product of a desiring of future state of affairs. And while the two are intimately connected, its best expression of the relationship between faith and hope, one cannot have hope without faith. It's impossible to have hope without faith. That's why I say this world is hopeless, because they are hoping for things in this life. And things in this life doesn't fulfill. It's based upon a false hope. You cannot have faith. I mean, you cannot have hope without faith. Because faith is the substance in which you base your hope in. That is in Jesus Christ. His death and burial and resurrection gives you all in all. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, there is no hope. If you die and don't have Jesus, you have no hope. You're hopeless. That's what where the Gentiles was at one time in Ephesians, saying you were without hope. Until you found Christ, you were without hope. What is the biblical meaning of hope? Hope is commonly used to mean a wish. And like I said, that's what the world says. It's a wish. Its strength is the strength of a person's desire. So this nation is one of the worst nations that says, it says, get out there and pull your own self up by your own bootstrap. Right? Have you ever tried pulling yourself up? It's impossible. No way a man could pull himself up by his own bootstrap. We all need one another in this life. But you see, one another only works in Christ. That's where the hope is based at. But in the Bible, hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised, and his strength is in his faithfulness. God will deliver whatever he promises us. So that's why I say you can't have hope without faith. Listen to that. Bible hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. Did God promise you a new body? Yes. Did God promise you everlasting life? Like I said, these are the promises of God. That's what your hope is based in, is that God cannot lie. Jesus said he was the Father. He was God, right? In that if anything you ask the Father in my name, that he will give you. So that has to be in Christ if you act according to his will. That's why I say you have to watch some of these churches at the priest's day. If you ask according to his will, suppose you ask for something that's not according to his will. See, because it's not in just abstract thinking and just asking for whatever you want. You know, a lot of preachers, hey, let's just pray about this, me and you, whoever it says, anything we touch and agree upon shall be done. No, no, that ain't how this works. That's a physical preacher. That's a physical thing. Because had God said that was good, because all of it's not applicable to us. Okay. Can you still have faith without hope? Okay, so we found out you couldn't have hope without faith. Can you still have faith without hope? When people have hope, they have faith. When people have hope, they have faith. Now, those that don't have faith, some of them in the world have hope. But it's not a godly hope. It's a self-hope. And it's a lot of people in church that are not born again, that are professors, and their hope is not based in God because of their lack of faith. That's why he says, O ye of little faith, how would you like to have the things you see? That's a different thing. Are you living according to the word of God? That's the measure. With what measure you meet shall be measured unto you. Because they hold a belief, it says, when people have hope, they have faith because they hold a belief that says, I believe that the future will be better. And while they have no grounds to prove the hopeful assumption, they have faith in it. While faith without hope is possible, hope without faith is not. Thus, faith is not sufficient for hope. You understanding this? In other words, if your faith is a little faith and you hoped to be healed or you hope when something happens, is that an assumption on your behalf or presuming upon God that anything come into your mind or you desire that you can have it? It's not based in fact then. See, because how can I say this without getting you confused? Johnny Erickson taught us, was talking about that the accident that happened to her that confined her to a wheelchair the rest of her life, was talking about hope in the things that God had accomplished, and that wasn't what she desired. That happened to her when I think she was in her teens or something. She was very young. But it wasn't God's will to heal her. It's God's will. She did more for handicapped people and people in wheelchairs and inspired more in the condition she's in. So I don't want to name preachers and things. If they come to town with a tent and everything, and they say, well, this person wanted to walk, or this person wanted to be healed of cancer, this miracle was in that. Is God your Santa Claus to go around doing things that's in your mind and what you desire? You should be content that if God has you in that position, he know exactly what position you in and what's wrong with you, and that if he want to heal you, he'll heal you. But if he wants you to do, you content with such that you have in the condition you is, and you can serve God right there and be content and happy. Mm-hmm. See, you can do more for God if you find and know God and be happy with the prison ministry within prison. God doesn't have to call you to be let loose from prison. A lot of people in prison say, well, I found Christ and I shouldn't be electrocuted. Hold on now, you done broke the law, you done kill this person or drove drunk and did all this, but now you done found Jesus and we got to go against this law or whatever. God can sustain that law. God can get you out. But wouldn't it be a better witness is that you cheerfully and happily go on and represent, preach, teach Christ and witness to other people or whatever, and when they kill you, they kill you? Because you are paying your debt to society. See, we look at God and we look at religion. It's got people that capitalize on it through religion. It's preachers and teachers and people that capitalize on it, that you being humanistic, that you create your own creation and you go by getting those things that you want. If you want a car, there's no reason. God said you'll get the desires of your heart, the things you might have wrong desires. That's why he says, The reason we don't have what we want, we ask in amiss. We ask in to consume that upon our own lust. To say, look how Christian I am, is that God's giving me everything I asked for, and these are what God gave me, and you can prove God. Well, God can't be proved that way. Only faith. Through faith is our God. So it's not of the substance, or it's not of the things you have. Godliness is not gain. Godliness is learning to be content at what such that you have. So that's why when you say, well, how else is she feeling? How else? Well, we got to treat what's ailing or whatever. So if God's got me in the condition with my knees and legs and everything, there's no use in me complaining. I have to be happy and going in that condition because that's where God has me. The slavery, they say, well, people were happy in slavery or whatever. That's not necessarily that they were happy and wanted to be slaves. Is that's where they was. They wanted to be free or whatever. But if that's where they are, they should just want to be happy there, right? You just want to be content. It's not that you don't want to be free. They talk about that in the Bible. If you're free, sure take your freedom. But if you bond, if you're under a bad government, I can't teach you to rebel against this government or this authority. You are where you are. And if the government's corrupt, however the government are, you have to operate as those that in authority, God had put them in authority. You might hope to be free or hope to do, but that's a hope in man or in something intangible. Your hope in God is that one day you'll be free. See, that's what the slaves say. That's what the dream Martin Luther King had. that he dreamed these things would happen or whatever, he have a dream. That's it. That's a dream. But the hope in Christ is one day this will happen. It's not a dream. This actually will happen according to God's word. It'll be no more slave, no more bond. We'll all have liberty in Christ Jesus. We'll all be one father's children. Now that's what God said. See, so it's no use fighting for the things of this world or whatever. It's a hope we're learning, we're schooled, we're taught through religion to have physical hope. And there's only one hope. You're calling one hope of your calling. That hope is to believe in Christ Jesus and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That gives you zeal. That gives you motivation. That's when the bond starts to loosen. The anointing breaks the yoke. You start growing in Christ. You start achieving. That's what motivates you. That's when you start accomplishing things. So as it looked like, and I'm looking at this week or whatever, I'm not depressed. I'm just handling the way it is. But, you know, it feels, I have one of your mountaintop feelings today, but everything has gone wrong. But everything has been solved and working its way out. Because problems, if problems set you back and disappoint you in your hopes and things, your hope is in the wrong place. Circumstances will control you. And God says, be not confounded, be not confused, be not distraught. You have to say to your soul, why am I cast down? Why am I unhappy? Why I allowed my joy and peace to be taken just because I don't have anything to eat? God might want me to fast. Why should I be unhappy or whatever because something's wrong with my car? Why should I be happy if I'm broke? If that's a state you're in all most of the time, you should learn to be happy being broke. See, that's why you vacillate and you have emotional things. You have to keep an even keel. What is the difference of hope and faith? Faith and hope are defined in the dictionary as follows. And I didn't gave you that before. Not biblical. This is what's not biblical. What does it mean when you have hope? Hope is a state of mind that believes and desires a positive outcome to situations in your life. That's what the world has. Positive outcome. How can you... That's insanity for to keep believing something's going to happen. The reason you keep being disappointed because you're putting your expectation in people and things. You put your expectation in people and things, they will let you down. God's going to make them let you down so you'll change where your hope is. You putting your hope in your spouse and your children and things, it's in the wrong place. It has to be in Christ, who never disappoints you. Christ will never disappoint you. Hope make it not a shame. But if you put it in earthly things, that's why you vacillate. That's why you have depression, ups and downs, because you are the wrong hopes, believing in the wrong thing. Because to have feelings is carnal anyhow. To have feelings is carnal. The breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate, that's Jesus Christ. When you put on Christ, it protects you from yourself. It keeps you from being cast down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They quote that scripture all the times in Psalm, but let them want and don't get. Let them want and don't get. They forget about that shepherd. They forget that, well, you must be wanting the wrong thing. He didn't lead you beside still water because now everything is disturbed. Your ocean is roaring and you mad and you ready to go rob the world. You ready to curse people out and just throw all kinds of tantrums because you didn't get what you wanted. And you still quote Psalm 23, I shall not want. Your wants has to get in line. That part of you needs to be crucified. That part of you hadn't died. You still carnal. That's why Paul say you fight and you bicker and you fuss in between because you are yet carnal. It is hope. It is a feeling that things will turn out for the best. It is consistently looking forward to that positive outcome to something playing in our life. I have a problem with one of my relatives or whatever, and I talked, my brother texted me today and he said she wasn't feeling well and that they had her back to the hospice center or whatever. Okay, should you be strengthening yourself in the Lord and been strengthening the Lord that the Lord give it, the Lord take it away? I don't see where Job was how can I say this? He said, you know, it hurt me to lose all my children. He says, but he know one thing, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. We all has to die. We all have to die. However God takes us out of here, that's part of the program. But see, we shouldn't not have hope that, I'm hoping, I told him today, I said, let's hope this transition smoothly and she's in hospice where they give her some painkiller, some pain medication, where this goes smoothly and she's comfortable with this happening. Because I see a better life for her in the world to come. And, you know, if you knew of her, you would know, and this goes along with something I was teaching and telling people today while we was talking about the situation while I was getting my car fixed, that see, some people that God has in this world, they may not be able to understand or know Christ in a way, but this relative of mine, I do believe I would see her in the kingdom. Now, even though she's not an avid church member or whatever. See, because our mind, God knows your state of mind, and he knows what you're capable of. And she's had it harder here. It was worse for her. If this would have happened 5 or 10 years back, she still would have been better. Because this was toil down here. This was a living hell for her down here. See, and that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get in hell and be comfortable. That's why Paul said, I don't know, he said, think it's better for him that he should go and be with Christ, but it's better for you that he should stay. In other words, with his teaching and preaching, God was achieving a whole lot to him. But it's like Elijah. If you would look at a lot of the prophets, you look at a lot of God's preachers, most of them are ready to go and be with Christ. Because when you're fighting the true fight, it's not easy. And anybody in here that's following Jesus Christ, you every day you're looking for Jesus to come. You're hoping that he would come because you're tired of this world. You're tired of the troubles, the heartaches, and the pains, and the fight. You catch people that's looking to live in this world and loving their lives in this world. Look, he's on Satan's side now. That person that loves this world is on Satan's side. God tells us, love not the world and the things of the world. If you're in love, if you're not looking, and if you look in all of the saints, look for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ every day to have that hope, that is he coming today? Is he coming back? They're looking forward to him because it's such a struggle down here. One problem get out of the way, here come another problem. It's problem after problem. But you know what? It's not hopeless. You still have joy and peace in those problems because you glory in trial and tribulation. Because God's solving the problem. It's not my problem. I'm in this body. But God's trying to get me to know him better through suffering. And that's what Paul did. He learned Christ through suffering. So his hope was in God, and he was growing in the grace and knowledge and understanding of God. Each day that you've been in this church, hadn't you learned more? Hadn't you learned to serve God more? Aren't you happier and see it stronger and stronger?
Yes.
Now, it hadn't been trouble-free. It's not going to be trouble-free. If you're looking for a trouble-free, you need to get out of here because it ain't going to be trouble-free unless you don't want to do nothing. If you want to just, you know, it's a lot of people just ride on the wagon. They don't want to help push their wagon. They don't want to help bear the load.
And see, that's what Christ does. He sanctifies us. He purifies us if you have that hope. But that's why I say you can tell people that have that hope. It's a zeal there. It's a pressing on toward the mark in those people with that hope. That hope motivates you to keep plunging on, to keep trucking on along the way. With that weight on your shoulder, Hebrews 11 chapter. Now, faith is the assurance. It's the title deed of confirmation of things hoped for, a divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. In other words, I can't experience the resurrection or see Jesus Christ, but faith has me seeing and knowing that Jesus didn't lighten the load, that he didn't took it up on himself. Yeah. Now, if you don't have that conviction, you may not be born again yet. If you don't have the conviction that your sins and that confidence, see, that's why he says, be able to tell people of the confident hope that lieth within you. And that worries people when you on a big load, but you still smiling and you still happy and you're not bitter, you're not sour, and you're going through this thing. And that's how she is. She's going through this. The people around her are worse shape than she is. I can't go around them. You know, they're so sad and pitiful. Man, please don't. The most sad. People want to be pitiful. They love pity parties and love to invite you to pity parties. So, oh, you know, God, this. Will you stop trying to drag me down? Let me get away from around you. Watch these things. It says, for by this kind of faith, all men gain approval. So, faith is shown under stress that gives you a more, better, clearer view that you're getting closer to God in what he had promised you. It drives you back to the Bible. Listen at that. He who had this hope purified himself. So are you cast down or worried? There's something, a weight of sin in this world that you hadn't laid aside. If you worried, if you discombobulated, you're going against Jesus' word, because they say, see that you be not worried. See that you be not worried. Don't be anxious. See, that's the guy that's sitting down there, and you can see that bomb about to explode or whatever, and you're sitting down there, God's got it. God's got it. God's going to handle this. See, people wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go all to pieces. Say, we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace if you don't bow down and worship our God. Well, you do what you want to keep. We're not going to buy and we're not going to bend. God, if he don't deliver us, we still not going to do what you want us to do now. See, stop conforming to this world. Your hope is in Christ, not in this world. So what if I don't get what my heart's desiring or whatever? I have a bad heart. The heart is evil above all things. And people say, we go to heaven with that old heart of yours. The heart is desperately wicked. It has to be circumcised. In other words, taken out of you, and he placed a new heart in you. A new way of thinking, and one that has faith. That seed of faith has to be planted in you, and it grows. The hope makes it grow. And there are three things that abide forever, and those things nurture one another. Faith, hope, and love, which is charity. Because if you have hatred, if you have bitterness and all that stuff in you, you can't have hope. You don't have faith in God, you're doing all these things, because all those things being purged from you. If you have the hope of God, you have to be purged in it, because you have to go to Galatians. What's being purged from you? Let's end right here at Galatians. Because it says, he who had this hope purified himself. But if you be led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. So though only those under the law will die, right? If you spirit, if now you are the sons of God. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do things such these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you still going around lying? What makes you think that you can enter into the hope of God? If he said, now you to come in here, I've got to work on you, and you purify yourself of these things. It has to be, if your hope is in God, because God's working in you. He's the author and the finisher for your faith. He's going to pull those things off. All these things is like clothing. You have to pull that off and put on Christ, because you will be shaped in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. So if that grace of God that had been revealed to all men, verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you have that hope, in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. What kind of hope? A blessed hope. That's the only hope you're looking for. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. He's going to purify you. He's working in you. You're going to be then laid these things aside if you have that hope. And the hope is the resurrection to attain Jesus Christ. That's the only hope you should have. Any other hope is worldly. Any other hope is worldly. God is the God of hope. Jesus is that God. To attain Christ, Paul said, he counted all loss to attain Christ. That's your hope. Jesus Christ is everything. That's your hope. But you can't lay hold of Christ. You remember I said he laid hold to Paul, and now Paul's trying to lay hold to him. You'd better hold on, because like I say, it's going to be a fight to the finish. And self is trying to pull you, but he says deny ungodly lust. That those things reign in your body. Those desires. And we even pray to God and ask God for carnal things. You know, I used to be, when I came to Christianity, I used to pray for stuff and going, I don't pray for stuff like that anymore. When you go in to pray for stuff, we erring away from God. He says, pray ye. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. So we shouldn't confuse our hope. The hope is Christ. That's our hope. The things in this world are temporal things. The moth and rust is corroded and everything. If you think you've accomplished something and you've gained all those things in the world, that was your hope. They all will pass away now. But I'm looking for a hope that's eternal. Christ. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me.